At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. Now, after we completed Proving Ground 6, a new form of adventure opened up called An Arrival. And that is in Trindmore, where we've already went. We've already read the description for Trindmore in some previous episode. Not sure which, but probably a couple of them, so we'll just skip that and get straight to the adventure. And of course, you'll want to find out the description yourself. You could easily just go to Trindmore, find out what it is, and probably maybe have an adventure. There's quite a few there. Not as many once you've done them all, because that's how it works. An arrival, late one afternoon. On an empty stretch of road south of Trindmore. Let us begin. So it begins. A sunny afternoon in early autumn finds you trekking west along a deserted stretch of road east of the city of Trindmore. Sproing, 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 sproing. Since passing a laden coach that was heading in the opposite direction nearly 2 hours ago, you encountered no other travellers as you continue to follow the lonely woodland lane. Sproing, sproing, sproing. As you approach the sign that indicated the main highway leading north into Trindmore is 2 miles ahead, you suddenly become aware of a sharp crackle of energy from somewhere in the forest to the south. Standing at the sign, you listen as the crackling sound echoes through the thick belt of trees that runs to the southern edge of the road. The singular sound, indicative of magic use, which throws upon you a growing sense of unease. Without a second thought, and with your every sense alert for the first sign of possible danger, you plunge into the forest south of the road in search of the source of the unnerving sound. Less than 50 yards south of the road, at the edge of the thicker region of the wood, you discover the source of the sound, hovering inches off the forest floor. Its sharp crackle echoing off the surrounding trees is an energy-rimmed portal. The portal is slowly closing, though it still looks large enough for something quite sizable to pass through, and thus very, very easy for Sir Croakington to pass through, as she is not sizable. She is small. Standing to the right of the shrinking gate, her long, dark hair tied into a single braid, is a young woman, cast in a studded leather waistcoat. Slung across her back is a short sword. 3 daggers hang from the thick belt that encircles her waist. At first, she appears not to notice you, as she fiddles with a bird-shaped angular that dangles from a leather cord around her neck. But she suddenly looks up and smiles as you make your presence known. Though you can't seem to recall anything tangible, you're immediately struck by the haunting notion that this is not the first time you've seen her face. Perhaps it's some sort of wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey thing? Something quite terrible is coming through that gate, she says. Her voice eerily reminiscent as her face, as she sighs and shakes her head. I did what I could, but Figma Rock the Destroyer hasn't earned his title for nothing. He's wounded and angry, but I can't afford to spend any more time and energy on him. If this were my time and place, I'm assuming it's yours, I'd rather he didn't establish himself in it. That portal will close. But I don't think it will do so quickly enough to shut him out. In fact, I know that it won't. Perplexed by the encounter, particularly the young woman's rather vague account of what seems to be an imminent and deadly threat. You ask her who she is and what she's talking about. In response, she shrugs and folds up her hand. She's from another time and place. I don't know, maybe the only gating magic they've learnt there is one where the portals just open and close really slowly. Which, I mean, has advantages, but means you can't just go bloop, snip, and then you're stuck. But it also means whoever's on the other side isn't stuck as well, and they can chase you. But I think it's mainly just that's the only magic that worked there. Or at least the only magic they figured out works there. If there were time, I'd be happy to tell you, she says. But there simply isn't. Keep an eye on that case. Gate, this should rather be a hasty retreat. In which case, I wouldn't waste even a few more moments here. With that, the woman bows, turns, and strides off in the direction of the road, vanishing into a cloud of silver sparkles as she goes. In a matter of seconds, she has disappeared, leaving you alone in front of the shrinking portal. A guttural snarl sails out of the spinning core of the energy-whimmed gate. With your heart pounding, you turn and assume a defensive stance as a few yards back from the crackling energy wind portal. With every muscle tensed, you boldly await whatever is about to emerge from the gate. Seconds later, a deafening bellow erupts from the core of the shrinking portal as a towering, grey-skinned, two-headed ogre bursts out of the churning vortex. Well, at least it's not that ogre, so it won't be too much of a problem. The hulking creature, easily 9 feet tall, turns and stomps towards you, brandishing two large spiked clubs in his broad, thick-fingered hands. Realizing immediately that this fearsome beast must be who the young woman referred to as Figmoak the Destroyer, you take a step back and renew your combat-ready stance. The two-headed ogre, its torso riddled with charred, smouldering patches of flesh, the obvious remnant of a recent fiery attack, snarls as it closes in on you. So I have two options. Hold my ground and engage the two-headed ogre, or flee immediately. I'm going to flee immediately just to see what happens. You turn and take flight, dashing wildly into the forest in an attempt to evade the enraged two-headed ogre. Much to dismay, Vikawok gives chase. So I kind of hit the tree sideways and just spring from tree to tree. Picking up, and I'm gesturing with my hand just because. You can't see it, I won't remember it, but it did happen. Picking a random number. Bonus of 50, 20 from agility, 10 from body, 20 from woodmanship. Got to get 100 or more to stay ahead. Pick now. 75. Failure. Each fig and walk, each of his fixed strides equal to a whole spring, swiftly overtakes you. You nimbly dodge the swipe of one of his spiked clubs as you draw yourself into a defensive stance and prepare to engage the two-headed ogre. Okay. Doesn't look like... What would have happened if I'd got away? Would I have got away? But, well... Anyway, fleeing didn't work, so things haven't really changed. With this savage bellows rising through the trees, the two-headed ogre stomps forward, striking out at you with both of his massive spiked clubs. And we fight it. Manually. The two-headed ogre swipes at you with both of his spiked clubs. I fight with my bigger, badder club. Gives a devastating blow for 28 damage. And then again. And then 21 damage. 25 damage. He's got a lot of devastating blows. I get into battle rage because I've had enough of your devastating blows. The only thing that's going to devastate is your face. When I club it. Yeah. See? Your face is devastated by my club. And you're dead. So there. 266 experience to general. And 266 combat experience, 256 to general. Figure Mark's gruesome death cry echoes through the forest as the towering two-headed ogre collapses into a bloodied heap at your feet. The fearsome terror, his massive hands now too weak to retain their grip on his spiked clubs, draws several ragged, gasping breaths before at last expiring. A quick search of the ogre's corpse reveals nothing of any interest or value, and his clubs prove far too heavy for you to either wield or carry. And that applied to, you know, regular people. Even more so for Sir Croakington. As you step back from the remains, you turn your attention to the closing portal. The energy wind portal is steadily shrinking. Despite the obvious peril inherent in such an action, you wonder if you might be able to step through the magical gate and safely return before it completely closes. And what might await you on the other side? So, do I step into the portal and presumably find all the treasure she couldn't steal because she was too busy running away? Or do I leave it to close, which of course is safer, but less... But of course, no chance of treasure. So now I'm going to step into the portal. You step into the portal and become immediately disorientated as you pitch headlong into a grim, lightless void. Suddenly, the blackness that surrounds you melts away and you find yourself standing in the midst of a vast, windswept plain. The grassy expanse stretches out in all directions till it meets a shimmering horizon at the edge of your sight. Despite the fierce wind that tears across the plain, the air here is unbearably hot. A thick ceiling of grey clouds churns overhead. Scattered across the plain in front of you, there are badly charred, still smouldering remains reeking of death, with its 4 dozen slain ogres, several of them two-headed. You begin to understand the earnestness of this mysterious woman's flight from the unknown realm and the source of her savage pursuer's way. Okay, she's good. 4 dozen slain ogres with 2 heads. That's like 100 dead ogre heads. That's a lot. Sharp crackling sound from behind causes you to just glance back at the portal just behind you. The energy wind gate continues to shrink. Realizing that you have only a few moments, you make a quick search of some of the nearby ogre corpses. Among the gruesome remains, you discover a small, quiet, sparkling crystal spear. But if the item may have some value, you immediately take possession of a sparkling crystal spear. Got an encumbrance of 1, because it's big. You discovered this sparkling spear of crystal near the charred body of a slain ogre in an unknown realm. You visited by stepping into an energy wind portal. Gonna use it, so it's on the quick use list. The portal now barely half the size it was only a minute ago. You turn and step back into the magical gate. An unsettling, disorientating sensation washes over you as you step through the energy-whimmed portal. For a moment, you lose all sense of place and time as your portal plummets into a lifeless, lightless void. Then, suddenly, the darkness lifts and the sensation abruptly departs. You're once again standing in the forest, several yards from the twisted, unmoving remains of the two-headed ogre. With a final, sharp crackle of energy, the portal closes. After spending a few minutes checking over your gear, you leave the woods and return to the road, still perplexed by the strange events that interrupted the last leg of your journey to Trintmore. As the road you've been following joins the larger and more well-travelled highway leading into Trintmore, you continue to pore over the details of the strange and dangerous episode in the forest. Despite being unable to fathom how it is you could know the young woman who presumably opened the portal through which she and the two-headed ogre arrived, you're again struck from the haunting, unshakable feeling this is not the first time you've laid eyes upon her. Something inexplicable tells you it won't be the last time you meet. And that finishes this adventure with 1,024 experience to general. That's that. Has anything new been unlocked by that? Well, yes. A second encounter, this one, at the Goblin Claw Inn. And a second encounter is called a second encounter. So, because that's what it will be. So, all right, I'm going to save now. And then since we've only just begun, we'll do that too. Goblin Claw Inn is in the South Troll Glen. Goblin Claw Inn. But actually, well, one thing I want to do first, I'm going to check something with the Sparkling Silver Spear. I've just showed it to... Timokiff in Pakwa. Timokiff's eyes widen slightly as you produce the crystal spear. He studies it carefully for a few moments and then nods. He tells you he will give you 2 adventurer tokens for it. Now that's very good, because adventurer tokens are, if you don't already know, as you probably should by now, because after all this might be your first episode, these are the super premium currency that you can exchange for various nice things, such as the best equipment at Tully's Trading Post, the potions at Talaro's that boost your that can boost your stats, including the seven base stats, and all the things. Access to the Adventurous Collective, learning new skills and powers. Well, I'm going to sell him. Sell him the spear. Because it literally does nothing else.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Timokiff promptly hands you 2 adventure tokens and takes possession of the Sparkling Silver Spear. 2 adventure tokens gained. Woo! Quite interesting, he says, examining the spear closely. Thank you for bringing it to me. Speak with Timokiff. And he sometimes talks about the items that you gave him. We've probably read that before, or if not, it doesn't matter. And now, back to, was it Durnstig? Where was it? A second encounter, that was a Goblin Claw Inn, yes. Because there's actually been quite a break between when I popped off to Timokiff and when I came back. Self-taught clan. Goblin Claw Inn, begin. Enter the inn. Common room adventures. Second encounter. Dust settles over the South Troll Glen. Begin. eager to escape the pall of smoke that's been building up inside the Goblin Claw's common room for the last couple of hours. You slip out through the inn's back door and take a stroll along one of the well-trafficked paths running through the nearby woods, with the din spilling out of the inn's window swiftly fading away. Behind you, you take a seat on a broad stone next to the trail and listen to the gentle chorus of sly forest denizens as dusk settles over South Shore Glen. You've been sitting on the rock for only a few minutes when a distinct and familiar sound reaches your ears. The unmistakable sound, the sharp crackle of energy from somewhere close at hand, stirs a recent vivid memory and serves to place you immediately on guard, intent on discovering the source of the sound. You wise and steal into the woods to the north of the path, moving slowly and quietly through the darkening brush. Just over a small, treeless hill, you discover the source of the sound. Hovering only inches off the ground, the base of a towering fir, is an energy-wimmed portal. The sharp crackle of writhing tines of lightning that encircle the portal echo through the surrounding trees. The portal is slowly closing. As you step closer to the portal, your senses alert for the first sign of danger. The spinning core of the inky vortex begins to whipple. Seconds later, the young woman you previously encountered in the woods near Twintmore, spills out through the magical gate, landing on her knees on the forest floor. As you step forward, prepare to help her regain her feet. She springs up before you're within arm's reach, and dusts off her leather leggings. As she turns to look at you, smiling, you immediately make note of a nasty gash on her right arm. The old woman immediately presses her left hand to the wound. In a matter of moments, no trace of the gash remains. "Wogglers," she says, wincing slightly. "They'd have had my head if I'd tried to get the other half of this." She holds up what appears to be half of a circular stone amulet. "The other half's still in there," she says, motioning with her head in the direction of the shrinking portal. "But I'm in no hurry to go back. And I don't suggest you try to retrieve it either. Unless, of course, danger and death don't frighten me." Actually, they don't. "Both of those frighten me, though. I suppose that's how I've managed to stay alive for so long." Few moments, the young woman, fidgeting with her sword slung over her shoulder, says nothing as she looks from you to the portal. Alas, she steps forward and leans down. The move that catches you off guard, she initiates a shoulder cross. "Not entirely foreign to modern custom," she says, as the two of you simultaneously withdraw from the gesture. "But I'm certain my manners could use a bit more practice. My name is..." Her voice rapidly trails off as a strange gibbling sound erupts from there. Out of this inky, spinning core, swinky portal, she steps back and shakes her head. "Those things are more vicious than they might look," she says, backing away from the gate. "I do wish these portals would close just a bit faster. I'm lucky to have procured half the amulet and to have escaped with my life." As a strange gibbling sound sailing out of the core of the energy wind portal grows louder, you turn to see the young woman's reaction, only to discover she's already gone. A thin, rapidly vanishing cloud of silver sparkles is all that remains to mark a sudden and silent passing. With no time to question either the encounter or the mysterious woman's sudden departure, you draw yourself into a defensive stance as you turn to face the shrinking portal. Only a split second later, the first of the three dripping spear tips emerges from the inky vortex. Three robed figures, their oversized heads concealed by bulky hoods, step out of the portal and quickly move to stand abreast before the shrinking gate. Each of the figures grips a long wooden spear. A thick, red, jelly-like substance coats the stone tip of each weapon. Suddenly your eyes are drawn to the hands of the figure standing in the middle of the group. Each of the eight long green, glistening digits wrapped around the haft of the spearhead. Each of the long, green, glistening digits wrapped around the haft of the spear end with a rounded tip. As your pulse begins to race, the figure on your left steps forward, gibbering wildly, and casts back its hood, revealing the broad, slimy, emotionless face of a green and black frog. The frogman fixes bulbous black eyes on you and raises his spear as he's glibbering, and that of his companions grows even louder. Now, you think Sir Croakington might understand them, but the thing is, Sir Croakington is a toad, and these are frogs, and they are completely different, and quite frankly, she's offended that you would think that they're the same. The frogman fixes his bulbous black eyes on you and raises his spear as he's glibbering. That his companions grows even louder with startling speed and remarkable agility. The three frogmen spring forward, their poison-tipped spears prepared to run you through. As you spring back and prepare to position yourself to counter their fierce assault, you now realise to what the young woman was referring to when she mentioned the Wogglers. And here's a lore book entry for them. Wogglers. What a fun word to say. Wogglers. 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 Wogglers! The sinister Wogglers. Black and green-skinned frogmen. Hailing from an unknown realm deep in the Neverness are the subject of several legends. For many adventurers discount their existence. Well, that'd be because I'm just about to kill them all, but still. Wogler Scout, 1 of 3, beginning combat. I'm into a battle wage. I'm actually incredibly racist against Frog. It's not been brought up, but I am. And also, you're trying to kill me. And I guess, yeah, that's probably the real reason. The sinister frog man thrusts his poison tip spear at you. And so on, and so on, and slain. 32 XP. You step back from the wheezing body of the dying Woggler and attack the next of the world frogmen, Woggler Scout 2 or 3. Keeps thrusting his spear. I go into a battle rage again. Stop trying to poison me! Okay? Okay, just die. Yeah, that worked too. 23 XP. You step over the second of the slain frogmen, prepare to engage the third. In a move that surprises you, the hooded creature turns and leaps into the shrinking portal and instantly vanishes. So, if I can step in the portal and remain where I am. I'm going to remain where I am. Wary of what may await you through the portal, you remain where you are, with your eyes locked onto the energy-rimmed gate. After several minutes, the lightning encircling the ever-shrinking portal suddenly crackles with renewed intensity. A split second later, the portal closes. Well, I think I've just missed out on something fun. Oh well. A short while later, you're seated at a table near the crackling fire. It continues to do its best to overheat the crowded common room of the Goblin Claw Inn. Gritsmall, the inn's well-known proprietor, ignores the jeering and heckling of a handful of patrons as he moves about the room, throwing open windows and clearing tables. As the smoke and noise formerly combined to the common room begin to drift out of the open windows, it's a gathering gloom of dusk. You find your thoughts returning to the mysterious young woman. A woman you've now encountered twice under eerily similar circumstances. I wonder who he is and why her face is strangely familiar to you. And how it is that you continue to meet up with her precisely the time and place she emerges from the energy-rimmed portals. You're now all but certain the encounters are not accidental. Suppose the smoke was getting a bit thick in there, says Quitsmall, moving up to your table and straightening two of his chairs. This knot is never completely happy, though. Next thing, they'll be complaining about is a draft through the windows. Looks like you could do it somehow, yes? Always glad to see your face around here. Yeah, you've got gold and you don't sit about whimpering over every little bit of distress. Keep your toes pointed at the fire. I won't be more than a minute. Gutsmore returns a few minutes later with a frothing flagon of what he tells you is one of the best ales the Goblin Claw has seen in several seasons. He sets the ale down in front of you, then scurries off to reopen a window that someone has just closed on the far side of the room. Slumped in the chair, with your feet to the fire, and the full flagon within easy reach, you allow your wary eyes to close just for a moment. And that finishes this adventure. But I'm not going to keep this, because this is obviously the short mode. As you only get 256 experience to general. And of course, wondering what was on the other side of that portal will torment Sir Croakington for the rest of her life. It will. It's one of those mysteries. Just torment her. So I'm not going to let this be. Okay, instead I'm going to quit without saving. Back to Sir Croakington again. We can start this adventure again with Second Encounter. But firstly, time to trade in that Simmering Silver Spear again. Previously was going okay. Timberkiff's Shop. Sparkling Crystal Spear. Show Timberkiff your items. Then show her the Crystal Spear. 2 adventure tokens. Got that again. Okay. Now. Okay. We've now passed half an hour. So. Back to the Goblin Claw again. The Con Room. Start the adventure again in the Con Room. I could do that now. But if we do it again, we will be well over an hour by the time we're done. So instead, we're just going to save now. What's up, Mantle? The top of the mantle is cluttered with a disparate assortment of items, including several empty Captain cards. That was an observation link. They've been scattered all over the place. Just here and there. Just an interesting thing just to click on every now and again when you see them. I'm sure there's something that happens with the screen readers that distinguishes them. Or at least I hope so. Because otherwise, how would they even know? Well, I guess, yes, it's probably... You would have figured out something for the regular lore board link. So you'd have something for that, surely. Anyway, next time, we'll meet up with that slow portal lady again. And this time, we'll go through the portal. But that will have to wait until next time. Until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.